rolling on from Motown to Movie Town. Come on, take a ride with us as we entertain you with stories of transformation from an automotive industry to an entertainment industry. Inspiring stories about people just like you and me coming together to redesign their lives. How are they meeting these challenges?
We're going to break that down for you.
From abandonment to transition to entertainment arts, we're mentoring the skills and development that bridge a history to a future of love and self-expression that warms our hearts and builds community. Are you ready? Come on! Yeah.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
I'm Big JD. You're listening to You Talking to Me. My guest this week is Jody Harker, CEO and executive producer of Rollin' on Detroit, a Michigan film company dedicated to the transformation of displaced Michigan workers into film and television crews. Please welcome Jody Harker to You Talking to Me.
Hey, Big JD.
So I guess the best thing to do is first talk a little bit about what happened around here, well, locally and even across the nation. That was the crisis. Economic crisis that came about, and that'll probably bring this, you know, today's whole discussion up to speed.
Well, just the September before, this was when GM and Chrysler went to the Senate and to the hearings about getting a bailout, and Michigan got up to, you know, with the bankruptcies of two out of the big three, Michigan got up to 13%. Mm-hmm. Unemployment rate here. And
wow.
Yeah. And I was a recruiter in the automotive industry. I had been for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was an engineer in the automotive industry. And the positions that I worked with companies on were mid to upper level management. Mm-hmm. So my job went away along with those.
Wow. Did you do anything during this transition, I guess, that we're going to get into between the crisis that hit, your job is gone, then the vision with regards to Rollin' on Detroit? What happened in the middle? Did anything go on in the between, or was this pretty quick that it happened?
It was within 4-5 months.
I
lost my house.
Wow.
In this whole process. And actually what happened was I had started picking up marketing and promotional jobs with different companies and startups, that type of thing. And they, as I was doing that, I got hired for this one firm that wanted to do auditions for a cooking show host for an internet television show.
Just let me ask you, though, in looking for work still in the automotive industry, how did you come about auditions for a cooking show?
I don't understand what you mean.
During this transition time between your job going away and Rollin' on Detroit, which we're going to get into, mm-hmm. you were looking for work in the automotive industry still, no?
I was actually trying to hang on to my recruiting company, but there just weren't any jobs.
Okay.
And so I was looking to, I was supplementing my income, which was, you know, whatever I could.
Right, okay, so it wasn't really automotive related stuff or whatever. So then something came to you with this cooking show then?
Right, just through a referral, this mm-hmm. company wanted some a lot of people to show up for auditions for a cooking show so they could get somebody from Detroit for it. And so I also, as a recruiter, I taught a course called Careers in Transition, mm-hmm. which was just pro bono out in different churches. And I had A contact list of over 5,000 people who had lost their jobs and are in transition. Wow. And were looking for opportunities primarily mm-hmm. outside of automotive because there weren't any jobs. So this company knew that. And mm-hmm. so they brought me on and requested that I promote this audition and see what we could come up with for that. So I did that and I hosted the event. And that's when I got the epiphany of rolling on Detroit.
You bring something else up that I just want to ask you about, how important networking is.
Yes.
It's a friend of a friend. You know, you have a huge contact list.
Yes.
Are we able to utilize that for this? You know, and you know so-and-so that knows so-and-so. It's very important to note how important networking is, because that's what it's all about.
Actually, I'm glad that you said that. Like, that was the core base of the careers in transition. Mm-hmm. When I taught that, is everything you want for yourself is no more than six people away from you. And so, yeah, looking back, that's a great point. It was all through networking.
You are driving down the highway and you get struck with an epiphany. What happened?
Well, it was actually it was the audition, and it was actually after it. And at the audition, there were probably 400 people through my promotion, through my career group, that had been downsized in automotive mm-hmm. had showed up for this audition.
Wow.
And it was actually more than this company could manage.
That's a huge number. And you have to realize, too, when you promote or advertise something like this, or in the film industry, getting hundreds of people out to something like this is huge.
Huge.
It's big.
We estimated maybe 100
mm-hmm.
and we got over 400.
Wow.
And over half of them I knew, know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of them I'd seen in my classes that I teach, and some of them, I mean, had been, you know, coming to my courses like over the last couple of years, so I knew him personally. It was a very busy day for me. Mm-hmm. And so after we dealt with what there was to deal with in managing for 400 people at this audition, which was for a cooking show that may or may not be a part of their programming,
mm-hmm.
I watched probably 30 of them that I knew personally. I watched them audition.
Mm-hmm.
And I was profoundly impacted by it. They were really passionate about getting an opportunity anywhere, and especially in something in media.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these people had also gone, and they shared this on their auditions, that they had gone to these with their No Worker Left Behind money. They had gone to...
Explain real quick the No Worker Left Behind money.
It is federal money that is provided for people who have been on unemployment, who have been downsized, to retrain them in a new industry.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these people, it's about $7,000. I have to check my numbers. Mm-hmm. And the government pays for it to retrain you. And so, you know, also during this time was just when the 42% tax incentive came here for the film and television industry.
Right.
So people, especially downsized automotive people, they said to themselves, I will use my No Worker Left Behind money and get trained in, being a producer, being a camera, different crew positions, grips, gaffers, mm-hmm. Screenwriters, and a lot of schools started popping up. And,
right.
And so when I promoted this audition for this cooking show, they were very, very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching them, and I just was like, I just got how much, about 15 of them come into my head right now as I'm describing this,
mm-hmm.
how much they wanted an opportunity in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them even said when they were being interviewed on camera, look, I'll take anything. And I'm driving down after this audition was over, which, by the way, went 2 hours past the time it said it was going to.
Right. Something else that happens regularly.
Yeah. And I'm driving down the road, and I just keep thinking about those people. Mm-hmm. And how hungry they were to break into this industry. And how, like, just the huge turnout for this. And I said, what if there was a reality show that actually documented what it takes for somebody who's been affected by the economy here in Michigan, mm-hmm. primarily automotive, and what it takes for them to actually work in film? And it was about I-75 and 12 Mile. Yeah. And that's where it all started to expand from there. So I started calling people. Mm-hmm. And through some leadership training, I knew some people who had worked more in the local film and television industry. And I said, hey, what do you think of this? And they're like, it's brilliant. That's brilliant. That would be so, I mean, that is the story of here. Mm-hmm. And so I pulled in a couple of people to start this project.
So in the beginning then, was it more what you thought as far as a reality show, or was it to showcase these people to get them working? And I guess we'll get more into this, but...
There's a couple of ways to answer that, but my intentions behind that was that to make a difference with these people, mm-hmm. and to really get that there was a... So many people were being trained and had in film and television had been downsized. Mm-hmm. A lot of the jobs that they had were not here anymore. I thought it'd be great television, mm-hmm. and B, but really where my passion was in it was to open doors to get people actually working, and how cool it'd be to actually watch it happen.
To get people working, when now you mentioned opening doors, is this for them to, because you're showcasing all these people type of thing, where you were not at the point yet where you wanted to get these people working, you wanted to put these people to work, you wanted this whole mentoring initiative and everything, that wasn't probably on the plate yet?
No, I mean, I-75 and 12 Mile was like, let's get these people working and let's do a show about it. Right. That's all I had.
Okay.
That's it. And I had no experience in film and television. I am, I'm an engineer and a sales and marketing person. Mm-hmm.
So then what was the next step as far as presenting it to some people? And then, because I know this thing grew exponentially, but in the beginning, what types of the industry did you have involved? Was it some filmmakers? Was it producers? Was it writers? Was it how big were your groups maybe, or your meetings? And so, like, what was kind of going on?
Well, at first it was myself and one other person. He was a producer in the film, the local film industry. Mm-hmm. He had done some internet television. He says, it's going to be a wild ride. He told me that right up front. Yeah. And he said, the first thing we need to do is to find some really good stories. Mm-hmm. So he said, let's market this thing and promote it. And he had a facility in Detroit where we can handle auditions. And he said, let's start auditioning people.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back with more information on these auditions as we talk to Jody Harker from Rolling On Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking To Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
We're back. You're listening to You Talking To Me on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit. I'm your host, Big JD, and I'm talking to Jody Harker from Rolling On Detroit. So you decide to hold auditions basically for the reality show.
Yeah, to be able to really do a treatment around this, we mm-hmm. needed some really good stories. So we held auditions.
Okay, and what were you looking for mainly?
We were looking for people who had been downsized, who had been directly affected by the economy, and who wanted to be in the film and television industry here, and primarily crew.
Okay.
Not so much actors, but crew.
And people that were probably more so affected by the auto industry.
Right. It's funny because we said downsized workers was one of the promotions we put out. And then another promotion we put out in for the auditions were Michigan workers. Mm-hmm. We used that exact language. And then when the newspapers and television picked it up, they automatically flipped it over to automotive workers.
Right, okay.
It's like the autopilot, so you know.
So did you guys kind of go with that after then because of that? Or
yeah, you know? I mean, that was truly what we were looking for because we felt like that was stories there, but we wanted to leave it open because we really got that as, you know, everybody is affected here. Was affected by what happened with the automotive industry. So you could be,
sure,
you know, in construction. And obviously you're laid off because people have lost their jobs and nobody's building homes.
Right. It just, there's that trickle
down effect. So just in all, yeah, in all like being open and inclusive, we were very clear that it was open to everybody who'd been affected. But the language just kept being out there that it was automotive industry.
Were most of them automotive related job loss and stuff, or was it everything?
We got everything. We got people who came in clown costumes. We got people who came with sandwich boards on them.
Yeah, you're auditioning for TV, so come on, come
on. Right, okay. And we got some amazing stories with people who had been downsized and like third generation line workers, families came up from the coal mines back at the turn of the century, that type of thing. And we had a lot of actors, and I mean, we got, somebody says, like, I really got now, and I didn't know that then, but say auditions for a television show, you're going to get everybody you can. Just going to show up. Yeah.
In clown suits.
Was
there a very big group that was actually holding the audition?
Well, we had recruited a couple other people to help to support us on the first audition. There were three altogether. Okay. And we needed more than one camera.
Right.
You know, we needed B footage. We needed people to wrangle the crowds, everything. Mm-hmm. So we recruited a few. And then after the first audition, experienced crews already started showing up. They saw the response that we were getting and they wanted to be a part of it. So when we did the second and the third audition, we had three audition rooms going, B footage, camera crews, wranglers, PAs, the whole bit. People love the idea. Yeah.
Pretty big production. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got over 1,000 people who auditioned.
Wow.
Yeah. And we did two more. Like the first one, we got about 350. And we did two more because we were specifically looking for something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we were getting so many actors, which is great. There's, you know, lots of opportunities possibly in the future in that with actors. So
okay to build that contact list, but
yeah,
you were
exactly
looking specifically for those
but
stories.
But we were looking for that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we would, like, as we promoted it again, we'd get more specific on what the call was.
Afterwards, did you put some kind of a framework around a show?
Well, first we had to brace ourselves because at every audition we would have, like, the local television stations show up. CNN called us. Michael Moore's people called us. Mm-hmm. They wanted to know about this. And yeah, we started putting together a treatment and structures on just basic structure on how we were actually going to shoot the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we got about about 80 people who were like, just tell us, we love this concept. Just tell us what you want us to do. They'll volunteer and do whatever.
Okay, so people that were interested in being a part of it.
Yeah, just being a part of actually producing what we were creating. And one of the things that was a hiccup in this was that we needed, like, we wanted to document these workers transforming into mm-hmm. film and television crews, but we actually needed to have them, like, what would they actually shoot?
Right.
So that's when we knew we needed to create a pitch event to start okay. looking at an inside show. Mm-hmm. And so that was the next big thing.
So you created a pitch event next, and where would that have been held at?
At Sinbad's, right on the river.
Okay. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
And how'd that event go?
Well, it went really, really well. We put out a new submissions for pitches. We had a head writer and crew to go through those and set up the time. It was a logistics. I won't say nightmare. It was phenomenal. It was something to be dealt with. Yeah. the response for this pitch event.
And keeping in mind that you and probably some of the people that were working on this project were new to
never done
film
anything
and
like
television
this
industry and pitch events and
right.
the auditions.
No, I didn't even know what a pitch event was.
And you were making great strides, and these things were huge, and getting crazy media buzz.
Huge. Yeah. Yes, we had over 27 pitches. We had over 300 people.
And these are pitches that you narrowed down 27
yeah.
pitches out of.
I don't know what it was, like 80.
Okay.
70, 80. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And it was a full house.
Yeah.
It was a full house. It was amazing. We had judges. And it wasn't like something for people to win.
Right.
You know, it wasn't a pitch contest. It was an event. Mm-hmm. And we were like, this is what we're looking for. Because what I really got, like at this point, there was such a demand to get people working in this industry.
Right.
But
okay.
mostly we were looking for a concept mm-hmm. and a script.
And something that you could utilize all these.
Yes, and that we could actually
workers.
Have them. And it needed to be something that was empowering,
mm-hmm.
that made a difference.
Okay.
And we had about 6 or 7 that presented that were within the context of what we were looking for.
Not long after that came an actual crew call.
The main thing we were looking for with the inside of the crew was that they had mentoring capability, because we got that as our people, our talent would be out there shooting whatever show that we were going to choose.
Right.
They needed professionals there. Mm-hmm. Not only could they be amazing camera operators, but we wanted them to be committed to mentoring. So we had a crew call based on that.
And let's talk a little bit about that. Now, as Rolling on Detroit evolves, Rolling on Detroit becomes this group, this project, this company that's transforming Michigan workers mm-hmm. into film and television crews.
Right.
And the whole idea behind all this now was for you guys to be mentoring these displaced workers mm-hmm. as they work in the industry and be filming this as a reality show mm-hmm. while they're actually partaking, I guess, in a documentary type
right.
reality show. That's just, it's pretty incredible concept, and it's something that obviously nobody has done here. So
it has layers.
Yeah, it does have layers. Transforming Michigan workers into film and television crews. It's great stuff. You know, I commend you on all the work that you've done. And then this also shifted into a new area. You had this company, Rolling on Detroit, mm-hmm. and the .org, .com, mm-hmm. and you also went towards a .org.
It got very clear that we needed to be able to receive grants mm-hmm. as well as venture capital, angel investors, that type of thing. We wanted to be open to all of this, and this project is about making a difference, and
right.
and so
and sustainability.
Absolutely, yeah. That's my number one passion, is creating sustainability mm-hmm. here in Detroit. If it's a project that is for profit, mm-hmm. or if it's more of a mentoring side. So we made sure that we were set up that we could receive both.
Okay. And you have the capability, obviously, of doing commercial work as well. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very good. What's happening now with Rolling on Detroit? What's going on right now?
Well, I got networked to a gentleman by the name of Les Ward.
From the auto industry as well.
Yeah, award-winning auto photographer and really the cream of the crop around here. Mm-hmm. And he, through some connections and some training that we did, and I knew he had published a book called My Town Miracles.
Okay.
And it has its profiles and possibility, and it takes different people from Detroit, some of them celebrity status, some of them not, some of them, you know, like the people from COTS, a nonprofit, and then the owner of Eastern Market, like mm-hmm. entrepreneurial celebrities, and the, you know, Stevie Eiserman is in it, and Arthur Penhall is in it, and I knew he was unstoppable, this yeah. man, and he was getting this book published. It was about ready to go to launch, and so I networked with him, and I said, what would you think about having this be the actual show we shoot, mm-hmm. a documentary around what it took for you to get My Town Miracles published mm-hmm. and out there.
Wow.
And what if we put our professional crews on it and had our mentoring workers on it and them breaking in and having the experience being the actual Rolling on Detroit show? And he's all for it.
Wow.
All for it.
That's great. So you're working on the documentary then
yes.
of My Town Miracles.
Yes.
Incredible. And where can people find more information on all of this?
RollingOnDetroit.org.
And you'll find information there as well about some information about the documentary and links, I guess, to the book,
yes.
My Town Miracles. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on all this and the up-and-coming documentary that you guys are working on. And it's just great what you're doing for Detroit, for the community, for Michigan, what you're doing as far as sustainability is concerned.
That's my passion. Is jobs and sustainability here and taking this opportunity with the film and television industry and opening it up to everyone. And I really have it that it's got to come from within. It's got to come mm-hmm. from us as Detroiters in it. And I just see Rolling on Detroit as the bridge to having this happen. And it's been a journey and it's been amazing. Thank you.
All right. And for anybody else that's interested in contacting Rolling On, RollingOnDetroit.org.
.org has most of the information. The .com okay. site is brief, just about the show.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks for being on You Talking to Me, Jody.
All right. Thanks, JD.
In a time of financial crisis and economic uncertainty, many displaced workers are looking to this new industry, the film and television industry, as a new and creative way to earn their livings. And Rolling On Detroit is all about sustainability in this industry for these displaced workers. You can check out more information at RollingOnDetroit.org. For You Talking to Me, I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.
Issue right now before a camera even goes on is the amount of products and labeling on the table that could become an issue if this ever gets broadcast. One, my Mac computer. Two, the Toshiba. Three, the Tim Hortons. Four, the Starbucks.
That's a wrap.
I need to hook up a microphone for my Skype.
That's the most important thing.